Hello, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good, how are you? This is the PSC
pretty good,
show.
Pretty good.
And my... Good. Oh, sorry. We are live. This is my co-host, Ryan Waterman, and Eric Jacinto. And today we'll be talking about the Phillies and Eagles. So, Ryan, what's your thoughts on the Phillies bringing back Mr. Charlie Manuel?
Like I said, I mean, I honestly think the writing is on the wall for Kapler. I mean, he hasn't been able to do much. I think this is what, his second season as manager? So the leash is starting to get a little tight around his neck. And if Manuel performs well with this team, I mean, I really feel like Kapler is in a no-win situation here, because if he performs well and the team can bounce back, then Manuel gets the credit for – managing to liven up the bats. But if they fall flat on their face and they can't turn it around, then it's like, oh, well, damn, Manuel can't even help Kapler. So I really think
exactly.
The writing's on the wall here one way or the other. It's just a matter of if Manuel is going to be the one to take over.
Yeah. I don't know if, because he has 76 years old, so I don't know if he will be, if he's willing to take a full-time role again. It all depends on what Charlie wants to do. I honestly think he's just doing the organization a favor, and whether Kapler is here next year or not, there's a 50-50 chance he might be here. If he's not, then we'll move on. And if Charlie's manager, that's great. We'll see. It's going to be interesting off-season and interesting last 6 weeks of the season. And tonight, Cole Hamilton's making his first appearance in Citizens Bank Park since getting traded 4 years ago. So that should be fun. Charlie Manuel's making his re-debut as the hitting coach. So should be interesting game
tonight. Tonight's definitely going to be fun.
Yeah. Seeing Charlie and Cole back on the same field. Not in the same field, but in the same stadium again. So I'm sure Cole Hamilton's going to get a standing ovation. So
100%. I would expect nothing less from the Phillies fans, because, I mean, Hamels was a very beloved member of the Phillies. But when they started dealing Rollins and then Utley, you knew it became time. It was like, okay, the window's closed, time to move on. I think they held on a little too long, but I know they've expressed interest in bringing Hamels back, so that'll be interesting to see if that comes into play this winter.
Oh, yeah, because he is a free agent, right, I believe?
I think he's either a free agent or he has an option. I'm not sure if it's a club option or a player option.
I'm
but,
sure he won.
I know. Yeah, I know they talked very... And I know they talked very in-depth about bringing him back either through free agency or maybe through a trade. I don't know what they would trade for him or what his value would be right now, because he is coming up towards the end of his career.
Exactly.
But if they could sign him on a cheap, maybe like a 2-year, $40 million deal, something along those lines, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he would love to finish his career in Philadelphia in front of the fans. He's always going to be beloved here for his heroics in 2008 and 2009. The 5-year run was so great. I mean, another news: Jake Arrieta is likely out for the season. He was put on IR today. I mean, injured list today. So. There's that.
Man,
I don't know if they can...
That signing was a flop.
Yeah.
That signing was a flop.
I'm so
disappointed with it.
Oh, yeah. What, 3-year, 4-year, $50 million or something? Forget what the deal
was. I think it was like 3 years, $75 million. But, I mean...
Oh, wow.
Even so, that's a quote-unquote cheap deal, I guess you could call it, for a pitcher, given the money that's flying out nowadays. But
for
the money that we paid him, and the results that we've gotten back, they have not been satisfactory at all.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. And is there – he has a player option, doesn't he? Is it a player or club? I think it's a player.
I'll be honest, I don't know. Let me research that real fast, and I'll get right back to you. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them dangle him in the off season.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not sure. Exactly. I'm not sure who would come and knock on our door saying, here, we'll give you this for him. But, I mean, there's probably a team out there that would do that. It's just a matter
maybe
of finding
Yankees?
That team. So that,
would
that's an interesting one with the Yankees. In order for the Yankees to be desperate
themselves,
if they were desperate enough, I think they would have to strike out on Cole and Bumgarner.
Yeah, and
they
that's one of the names
on
I want to get. They always have to go after those two too, especially Garrett Cole. I would pay him whatever
on,
he wants.
I wouldn't go that far to say I would pay him whatever he wants, because you're figuring he's been in Houston, what, 3 years, I think? This is his third year, and he's been a Cy Young caliber pitcher all three seasons, so he's going to command a major, major deal. They're thinking upwards of almost $200 million, if not over $200 million. So if you break that down over a five-year span, you're talking almost $40 million
a year. Oh, wow, yeah.
I mean, I'd be willing to sit there and say, hey, Garrett, we'll give you a four-year, $120, $125 million deal. I'd
so
be willing to pay him $30 million a year, but I would not go – I wouldn't give him the fifth year, because it terrifies me, pitchers that go into their early 30s still commanding a large amount of cash. If we gave him a four-year deal, if I remember correctly, I believe he would just be coming into his age 31 season.
Oh, yeah. Because he's, what, like 29, 28? Really?
Yeah, I think he's like 27 or 28. So it'd either be his age 31 or 32 season. But, I mean, he's just been so dominant since going to Houston. It's been unreal.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Houston would try to resign him themselves? Or
do I think Houston would try to retain him?
Yeah.
That's a tough one, because the acquisition of Greinke pushes them really, really close to the luxury tax. So it's just a matter of are they going to want to play around with surpassing the luxury tax and having to pay what they need to pay? Are they willing to go all Yankees on us is the question. Are they willing to spend any means necessary now that they have a taste of what success would bring and what a championship would bring? Or are they going to go back to their, not necessarily their money ball ways, but trying to build around good young talent that they can develop and then just recycle throughout the years?
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what teams are going to be after him. You have teams like the Yankees, obviously. I'm sure the Red Sox are going to go after him because they need pitching. I don't know about the Dodgers. They're close to a luxury tax themselves, aren't they?
The Dodgers are another interesting one, because they've got Kershaw and they've got Walker Buehler, but they've got I think Hyunjin Ryu, his deal is coming up at the end of the season. He's been arguably the best
phenomenal
pitcher in baseball this year.
Yep.
You got Kenta Maeda, his deal is coming up. And then you've got their fifth spot, which is usually always open, but that's been taken by, I believe that's been taken by Dustin May, who was impressed in his past two starts. So I'm not sure if the Dodgers would be willing to take on Arrieta at the cost of his contract. Maybe if the Phillies ate some of the money, they would, but I don't know.
I think that's what it's going to have to take. The Phillies are going to have to eat maybe most of the contract in order for a team to get him, a team like the Dodgers or the Angels or the Yankees, or even the Red Sox. Red Sox be that desperate to get Jake Arrieta. I mean, I know they have to pay some other pitchers. I mean, some other players like Mookie in a couple years, like 2 years or something. And then JD.
It's going to be interesting to see who wants to take him on, because there's going to be a large class of guys coming up in the next couple years that are going to command major paydays. I mean, you've got Aaron Judge who's going to command a payday, Mookie Betts next year, Cody Bellinger, Walker Buehler,
Lindor.
Trout's eventually going to command another payday, even though he just recently got one. He's going to get another one at some point. There is a large crop of talent coming up.
Yeah. And then you got because it's going to be an interesting market for Gerrit Cole, because he's going to be the highest paid pitcher this offseason. I mean, would the Braves go all in for him? Nationals, would they put out money again for another pitcher that they just paid Patrick Corbin this offseason? Are they willing to do that?
Man, I don't see how they could.
Could they start to pay
Anthony Lindor? I honestly don't see how they could.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about adding Gerrit Cole onto Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin. They've already got deferred money coming out their ass for Scherzer, and they've got a bunch of money dedicated to Corbin. Strasburg has a player option. So if Strasburg decides he wants to leave, then I could see them focusing on Cole. But if they're just looking to add Cole onto the big three that they already have, man, that's going to be a dangerous thought, because you're talking about taking away money from Rendon, or taking away money from Soto, taking away money from Trey Turner. So there's going to be some unruliness within the locker room.
Oh yeah. Do you think the Mets could add to that rotation if they go out and try to trade Syndergaard again, like they tried to do this past trade deadline?
I'm almost convinced the Mets are going to trade Syndergaard. I'm almost convinced that Syndergaard's going to be a new team. He's going to be donning a new uniform. It's just a matter of who. My money personally is on the Padres. I think the Mets were just so enthralled with the idea of this come-from-behind story of how they came from, like, 12 games back to win the wild card spot and make the playoffs that they – kind of cut off their nose to spite their face, I guess you could say, by trading for Stroman.
Yeah.
Because now they're stuck with Stroman. They're likely going to lose Wheeler in the offseason, and they almost have to trade Syndergaard to replenish that farm system. Because their farm system is very barren,
just as bad,
and they made it even worse by trading for Stroman.
Yeah. I'm surprised the Phillies didn't go after Stroman the way what they gave up.
See, if the Phillies were to pursue Syndergaard, I would go in with the idea, which they did at the trade deadline, that they're two off-limit prospects that will not be moved.
Yeah.
And that's Alec Baum and Spencer Howard.
Absolutely.
Baum, obviously, he's our third baseman of the future. He's our power bat that we've been searching for. I would, in my opinion, I know some experts disagree on this, but I think Spencer Howard is an easy top two, potentially ace of the rotation down the line. The kid has the stuff. He's improved greatly since his days when he first came into the into professional baseball. I just see future star written all over him.
Yeah, I think he could be up next year. LeBron. I think they're gonna trade away Franco for whatever they can get. I think they could actually maybe package a Franco and Jake Arrieta and maybe Caesar for something. I don't know if a team would take all three of them, but
See, I'm not even sure they could get anything for Franco at this rate. I mean, they've already gone and they pretty much went and cut bait with him by DFAing him. So it's now a case of teams know that he's not in the plans, so they have the leverage that we don't.
Yeah, that's true. And
like I said with Arrieta, it's just a matter of if a team wants to take on that money, because that's a hefty, hefty chunk of change to be taking onto a payroll for a guy that's, at best, I would say, an average pitcher.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. Would you consider trading Paxton and moving Ron to first and going hard after Anthony Rendon?
That's actually a very interesting question I never thought of. I would consider trading Hoskins if we got back a top-of-the-rotation young pitcher. I'm not expecting to get back a guy like Garrett Cole or but like a Jose Berrios from the Twins.
Wayne Kluber?
Maybe a walk. I don't know if I'd want Kluber or not. I don't know if Cleveland would, but I personally love Shane Bieber from the Indians. I don't think they would trade him, but I would definitely inquire on him and see what they could work out, if anything, for him. But that's an interesting possibility because, Hoskins, he walks a decent amount, but he also strikes out a decent amount. So there's really no in-between there. And we've already got one of them in Harper, so we can't really base our lineup around two of them.
And I don't know what the relationship between Anthony Rendon and Harper was. I don't know if they were, like, good friends, but I don't know if Harper would – Rendon's come here either way, but that would be interesting if he did kind of recruit him to come here, and somehow we did trade Hoskins maybe to Tampa Bay. They have tons of pitching. I don't know if a team like Tampa Bay would take him on if he could be a DH in the American League.
Oh yeah, he could be. I don't think it's a case of him being a bad first baseman. I just think he has to go to the right team and the right lineup that isn't designed around him. He's not a guy you can center a team around because, as I said earlier, he strikes out too much and the amount of walks that he has doesn't offset his strikeout ability. He's homered very well. It just hasn't come together in a full 162-game season. Like, his numbers are very average as far as power goes for a first baseman. I don't even know what the trade market would be for him. You really got me thinking about that one now. Like I said, I wouldn't take anything less than probably a number two in and around the 24 to 26 range, someone that we could slide in behind Nola and could form a scary 1-2 punch. But I don't even know who's out there, because you could say trade him. Blake Snell is a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know if Tampa Bay is willing to cut ties with him.
You're gonna be paid in like a couple years.
Yeah, that's
trade him now while his value is high. The Tampa Bay is not known for giving up them big money, so.
Just case in point, Matt Garza, James Shields, Chris Archer, those are three guys right there that have performed very well and ended up getting traded for their work. David Price, yeah.
The big one.
He's
in Boston now.
Now might be the time to strike on Snell, too, because he's coming off an injury and there's concern for his market, so now might be the time for the Phillies to be able to strike low.
Yeah. A Cy Young Award winner last year, so.
Yeah, you definitely make a good point there, and there's a good argument for it as well.
Before we segue to the Eagles, I'm gonna do a little shout out to the Dirt Sheet dudes, Anthony and Boxman. You know those two. Listen to them on Mixer tonight
good dudes.
At 9:30 p.m. They're good dudes. They know they're wrestling. Listen to them tonight at 9:30 p.m. on Mixer. You can be found on all major platforms. Just a little shout out to them, David and David Bossman and Anthony. So we're talking about the Eagles now. Tomorrow is the second preseason game. Nick Foles and Carson Wentz are not going to be playing.
I'm disappointed in that. I was looking forward to Foles versus Wentz.
Yeah. Do you think the Eagles are kind of a bot? Maybe being a little too cautious with Wentz?
After last week, absolutely not. You saw Sudfeld, what happened to him. He went down, broke his wrist. Absolutely not. If it's me, I'm shutting Wentz down for the preseason. He's not playing. He's not suiting up. You stay in your street clothes until week one. We need you for the regular season. We can't afford to lose him in the preseason because now we have nobody. I mean, can we really trust this team to Cody Kessler? Can we really trust this team to Clayton Thorson? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Even know
if we
who the guy is,
pretty much he was a game manager that came out of Northwestern. But, I mean, that fact just says it all. You don't know who Clayton Thorson is. I'm pretty sure he's a good kid. But I'm not sure he's made to be an NFL quarterback, just like I'm not sure Cody Kessler is made to be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, we lose wins. That's our season. I hate to say it, but that's our season.
Yeah, pretty much. If Wentz goes down, and like everybody said last week when these questions started about should the Eagles sign Kaepernick, the bigger picture here is, if Wentz goes down and we're already talking about getting a backup quarterback, there's a bigger problem than talking about getting a backup quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a much bigger problem in that case. And
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts about Kaepernick? Besides all the other stuff, we're not going to get into all that other crap. I mean, not crap, but you know what I'm saying.
Honestly, my whole thing is, I don't necessarily have a problem bringing him in. If we handle the media circus of Michael Vick, we can handle the media circus of Kaepernick.
Yeah,
I mean, sure,
I
Kaepernick's very outspoken, and he's very controversial. But this organization is built on good character to the point where I think they would be able to take a risk on a guy like him. I mean, case in point, Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins is he's very politically minded. He's very opinionated, and he doesn't hold back anything. But that's not a problem because he still goes out. He still plays damn good football. He knows when to separate things on and off the field. And again, the locker room culture helps offset his political openness.
Exactly.
He doesn't do it in such a controversial fashion.
Yeah. And I think it's been long enough where Kaepernick can come in and just play football and forget about the politics stuff and all that. Leave that aside like Jenkins just does. And I think we have the leadership where he will be told that and I think he would listen because I think it's been long enough since that all that controversy. I think it's time for him to get back in the NFL. I mean, is he a great quarterback? No, but is he better than what we have right now? Maybe.
Oh, absolutely.
I would trust
100%.
Him. Yeah, I would trust him over the two guys we have right now. It's nothing against the two, but Kaepernick has a record. He went to, he led the 49ers to a Super Bowl. when he came, what, second, third year in the NFL. So he took Alex Smith's
and,
job.
I mean,
to
be perfectly honest, it's not so much bringing him in and telling him to just stick to football. It's so much just bringing him into a culture where he can have somebody that can guide him to where he can express his opinions, but not in such a controversial, detrimental manner. And I think Malcolm Jenkins is the perfect guy for that, because he's very opinionated. He does it in a classy fashion. He's not controversial. Doesn't cause any detriment to the team. He's a very team-oriented guy. So, I mean, he would be like the perfect mentor for Kaepernick to come in. And as far as on the field, yeah, he was never the quote-unquote greatest quarterback there. But he is a good quarterback.
Exactly. So what are you looking forward to in the game tomorrow? What kind of battles? Is there a big position battle?
My eyes are on one guy, and that's T.J. Edwards, the undrafted linebacker we got out of Wisconsin. The kid can play. I've seen him play at Wisconsin. He's a baller. It's just a matter of him finding playing time and them getting him some consistent reps so that he can show that he can play. Pro Football Focus actually had him as the fifth-ranked defensive player in last week's game for the Eagles. So there's definitely promise there. It's just a matter of finding a role for him to carve out and getting him on the field.
Oh, yeah. Is there another – what do you think of the cornerback position? Do you think that's locked or –
The cornerback position is a very interesting one, because it could be our biggest strength or it could be our most glaring weakness. If everybody can stay healthy back there, I think we could have one of the best units in the league, because Ronald Darby is one of the best young corners. He's not a top 10, top 15 corner. Well, maybe top 15, but I think he's a top 20 corner. Then you got Jalen Mills, who excels in red zone play. You've got Avante Maddox, who busted on the scene last year, pretty much out of nowhere. Nobody expected him to play as well as he did. You've got Sidney Jones, who everybody's saying is playing absolutely fantastic football in training camp, which is news to Eagles fans' ears because of the draft capital that we invested in him and the expectations that came with him. He hasn't lived up to them so far. So we'll see how that goes. My X factor is Orlando Scandrick, because everybody says, oh, he has a reputation of being burnt and getting beat in coverage and whatnot. He's actually a fairly solid corner. He's got a nose for the ball. He brings a veteran presence to the locker room, which is good. Last year, he had an up-and-down year, I guess you could say, with the Chiefs, but he still finished with a grade from Pro Football Focus of just around 70. Passer rating had about an 80.6, it looks like. He finished third amongst corners with 12 pass breakups, so if he has anything going for him, that's definitely his strength, is pass breakups.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. What else? Is there any game you're looking forward to on the schedule?
As far as regular season goes?
Yeah.
Absolutely the Patriots. I want to see what Wentz can do against the Patriots, because the big knock on Wentz has been his injuries, and everybody's been focused so much on the Super Bowl, and, oh, Wentz never beat the Patriots, Wentz never beat Brady, Wentz would get carved up by New England. Let's see what they do, and let's see how Carson Wentz faces the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. That's week 15. I think that's in the Green Bay game is interesting, because they have to go to Lambeau Field. They go to Atlanta and Lambeau Field in the first 4 weeks of the season. That should be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if it, because what are we, like, 0-6 against Dallas the last 3 years? Is this the year that we finally end that streak? I hope. Somehow Dallas owns us right now, and that's hard to say, right? Because you all know we all hate Dallas, but they've owned us the last 3 years.
I don't know. That's tough to say. Really, everything, though, rides this season on health. I mean, last year we were playing with a lot of second stringers and third stringers, and we still finished 9-7 and made the playoffs. So if everybody stays healthy this year and everything clicks, then there's no excuse for them not to be one of the best in the league. Because we've seen Wentz play at an MVP caliber level. He now has a weapon that he's never had before in DeSean Jackson, who can offer him a deep threat and a field stretcher. He's got Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, pretty much a thunder and lightning combo out of the backfield. He's got Darren Sproles back. His offensive line is entering this year probably the healthiest it's ever been. And I mean, even the reserves that they have are better than I'd say 75 to maybe 80% of the NFL starting offensive lines. I hate to put so much pressure, but there is no excuse, providing he stays healthy, for Wentz not to have an absolute massive season.
Oh, absolutely. What do you think about Jason Peters? I mean, do you think it's going to be Peters slash that season?
I'm not 100% certain Jason Peters even lasts the season as an Eagle. A lot of reports have come out that the organization believes Andre Dillard is ready to play now, the first-round pick. So I could see them potentially taking Peters and trading him to Houston in a deal. There were rumors back in March and April that the Eagles were looking at bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. There's still rumors flying out there about that. Houston needs a left tackle. Clowney's unhappy. He's not signing a long-term extension there. I mean, the match is kind of made there. I'm just not sure if the Eagles would have the guts to pull the trigger, because they're super loyal to their players. They're super loyal to their coaches. So I'm not sure if they would have the guts to be able to trade Jason Peters, or if they would just wait out Peters and let him retire an Eagle.
Now, let's say they do trade for Clowney. What do you think it would take if they didn't give up Jason Peters? First round pick?
If we didn't give up Peters, I think you're talking definitely a first round pick. But if we included Peters, I could see it being Peters and maybe a third. Because, I mean, it's no secret that Clowney's out of Houston at the end of the year. I don't think that's a relationship that can be repaired. So I think Houston's pretty much going to want to get what they can get before he leaves for nothing. And Deshaun Watson, he's clearly the future of that team. They don't have a left tackle that they can slide in right now. They traded Dwayne Brown last year. They passed on Andre Dillard. So I absolutely think that Houston would jump at the chance to get a Hall of Famer like Peters. But obviously it would come with more than just Peters for Clowney.
Yeah. Now, where do you see Clowney fitting in this on this team? If we did trade for him.
I think Clowney would be a fantastic fit on this team, honestly. The defensive end position, I don't think, is necessarily a need right now, because, I mean, they've already got their defensive line absolutely stacked beyond belief. Barnett, Graham,
Barnett.
Vinny Curry, who's played arguably his best football as an Eagle. I think Josh Sweatson for a big year. They got Sharif Miller from Penn State. Then you move inside, you've got Cox, you've got Malik Jackson, you've got Timmy Jernigan. So I think if they were to trade for Clowney, his best fit would come as an outside linebacker. I think if with us losing Grugier Hill for a while, I'm not sure if Eagles are comfortable necessarily with L.J. Fort, because, I mean, L.J. Fort pretty much is, I don't want to say less talented, but he's a less talented Nigel Bradham. He's more of a coverage linebacker, where Zach Brown, our replacement for Hicks, is more of a run stopper. So if you fit Clowney in where L.J. Fort is, that would make this defense nearly unstoppable, because not only would you have the pass rush from the front four, you'd also have somebody that could come off the edge from linebacker position constantly while allowing Brown and Bradham to drop back in coverage.
Absolutely. What do you think is our biggest weakness right now?
Biggest weakness, much like I said earlier, was our secondary. I think that's the absolute X factor. That could be our biggest strength due to the quality depth that we have, or it could be our biggest weakness due to how fragile and brittle those guys are. Because, I mean, it's no secret that Jones is dealing with a number of injuries. He tore his Achilles. He dealt with a number of hamstring issues. Darby's coming back off a torn ACL. Mills is still dealing with a foot issue. I believe it's a foot issue or a hernia. I forget which one it is. So really the only two healthy ones you have with a clean record of health are Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox, because now Cravon LeBlanc, he's out with a broken foot, I think it is. So they have the talent and the potential to be one of the best secondaries in the league. They also have the risk and the uncertainty to be one of the biggest busts of a group in the league. They could be an absolute joke, or they could be probably one of the more sound ones.
Yep, absolutely. Do you think Jerry Mills will bounce back from last year's disaster?
Oh, I absolutely think Jones could bounce back.
Mills.
Mills, I'm sorry. Mills is an interesting one, because Mills is more of a bump and run guy. He's more of a press guy. So he's more vulnerable to getting beat deep, which has always been his Achilles heel. Once you get down into the red zone, though, the dude is lights out. I mean, you saw how he played against Julio last year. You saw how he played against Julio in the playoff game the year we went to the Super Bowl and won. So once you get inside the 10-yard line, he is as legit as they come. He's just got to work on his game, maybe develop into a bit more of a straight man-to-man as opposed to a press and a bump and run, because that tends to get him in trouble a lot.
Yeah, I thought the Eagles might consider trading him in the offseason, but I guess they didn't. But is there any cornerback on the roster that could develop into the starting lineup, replace somebody, you think?
Oh, I think they all have potential to develop into a number one, honestly. I think Jones has the highest potential. I think he has the potential to be a top 10 corner, top 5 corner in the league. I think Rasul Douglas has potential to develop into a number one corner. Personally, I think his greatest position is at safety. I see the greatest potential from him as a safety, more compared to a corner. I think Douglas and Maddox are safeties of the future, but I think that'll take them some time to figure that out. I can see Darby and Jones lining up outside, with maybe LeBlanc in the nickel. But, I would say our starting four would all have potential to be number ones. And even LeBlanc to a degree, because he played pretty well last year, I'm just not sure if that was a one-hit wonder or if that was the beginning of something that no other team had seen before the Eagles.
Yeah. Do you have a final prediction for the Eagles or not yet?
I would say the Eagles floor. Their floor is 8-8. I think their ceiling is 12-4, maybe 13-3. The main X factor for the season is definitely going to be health. If they can stay healthy,
absolutely.
There's no reason why they can't run away with the NFC East and be one of the top teams in the league. If they start getting into health trouble, it all depends on who goes down, I guess. Obviously, if Wentz goes down, the season's pretty much done.
Yeah.
I know we said that before when Foles took over, but I don't think Sudfeld's going to be ready to roll by week 4. I think it's going to take them a little longer to get back into the swing of things. I would say they have the potential to be a number one seed in the NFC again, but everything relies on health.
Do you think there's a quarterback out there they can trade for a backup? Or would they just wait for, like, a team to release somebody? I mean, I don't know who could be out there that could be suitable.
I personally would like to see them go trade for Nick Mullins from San Francisco. I liked what I saw from the kid when he played last year. I think he's got a pretty good feel for the position. He's got good vision. He's got a solid arm. He won't do anything spectacular like Wentz would do, but he won't lose you the game either. He'll put you in a position to win, but he won't win you the game. He'll rely more on the defense. So that's where the concerns with the secondary come in. And it just being a case of, can everybody stay healthy? Can they click? Can they gel together?
Absolutely. With Nick Mullins, I don't know if San Francisco is willing to trade him because Jimmy G is just coming off an ACL himself. I mean, so I don't know if they want to keep him.
It'll be interesting because now they've got three quarterbacks. Now they've got Garoppolo, they've got Mullins, and they've got C.J. Beathard. So I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That they'll. I'm not sure if they'll be keeping Mullins or Beathard, but I mean, I'd be comfortable rolling with either one if they were to cut or to want to trade one of them.
Yeah. Because if it gets to the point where Nate said it's had setback, or then we're gonna need a backup. As we said before, the other two are not backup quality right now. I mean, it's nothing against those two kids, but they're not proven right now. So I would rather go out there and trade for a veteran and go roll with him. And then hopefully if he does go down, it's not a serious enough injury where he's out for the season, and he's only out for, like, a month or two or something. So.
Well, yeah, obviously you're going to hope that if Wentz goes down, it won't be anything catastrophic, but you do have to just prepare for that possibility because he has suffered two season-ending injuries in back-to-back years.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern in any Eagles fan's mind right now.
Yeah, absolutely. The health of Wentz is definitely the primary focus of every Eagles fan out there.
Yep. Now, how much time do you think Miles Sanders is going to get? I think he could be up there for Rookie of the Year. Do you think?
I think it's just a matter of time before Sanders takes over the running back by committee.
So you think he could take the spot from Jordan Howard? And Howard could be like the goal line back or the third down back, or they split time.
I think Jordan Howard's more in line for the goal line work at the moment, but I think that Sanders is definitely going to split work pretty evenly between the two?
No. What do you think Darren Sproles fits in on? Is he just going to be that change of pace back where he gets the catch out of the backfield and
see, I don't know where Darren Sproles is going to fit in. I thought maybe if they had drafted a guy like a David Montgomery, I thought maybe Sproles would have fit in the pass game. I think he'll still fit in the pass game. I'm just not sure how often he'll fit in because they seem to like Sanders in the pass game. And I'm not sure how that's going to affect Sproles, if at all. For all we know, it might not affect Sproles. They might not have planned to use him that much this year. They might just have him in there to be the veteran of the group.
Yeah. Which running back do you think is gonna be left out and get cut? Would it be Josh Adams or Smallwood or Clement? Which one out of three
do
you think could get cut?
I only think they're going to carry four running backs. I think it's going to be Sanders, Howard, Sproles, and Clement. So I think that Josh Adams and Smallwood are going to get the cut. The only one I'm not sure about is Boston Scott. I'm not sure how he fits into their plans, whether he plans to be a kick returner or a punt returner or what.
I could see them keeping maybe Josh Adams on the practice squad, just to for depth. I don't know if he's eligible for practice squad. I think
I'm not sure if he's even eligible for the practice squad, to be honest.
Okay. Probably not because he did play so much in last season. So,
yeah, that would be the only concern. There would be. He played so much last season that he might not be eligible for the practice squad.
Yeah, about 8 minutes. You have anything else to on the Eagles or Philly? I do want to get your thoughts on like SummerSlam real quick.
We can review SummerSlam real fast.
Okay. So what do you think of SummerSlam and over your overall thoughts of Sasha Banks coming
personally,
back?
Personally, I hated SummerSlam. I did not like it one bit. There were parts of it that I liked. I liked the reintroduction of Bray Wyatt. I thought they did that perfectly. The way they went about it, the match, everything about it I felt was perfect. But, I mean, none of the matches really clicked, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
Becky and Natalya, it was a good match as far as work goes, but they didn't click with the audience. Charlotte and Trish, they clicked with the audience. It was decent work, but it never reached the level that it was supposed to. Whether that's Charlotte's fault, whether that's Trish's fault, whether that's both their faults, who knows?
Yeah, that match, because I missed the first hour. So I saw that match, and it didn't feel like a special match, like it was supposed to. And I thought Trish was going to win.
Right. I thought Trish was going to win too, but I kind of had it in the back of my mind that they were going to give it to Charlotte. The one thing I was not thrilled with was that they gave Rollins the title back.
Yeah. That was head scratcher.
In a sense, they just made a joke of their company with that. Because basically, what was the point of Lesnar winning the Money in the Bank? What was the point of Lesnar cashing in the Money in the Bank? Where's the sense in all of it if you're just going to have him drop the title back to Rollins, who got the living shit kicked out of him in back-to-back weeks leading up to the show?
Yeah, exactly. I'm quite frankly against it. I love Rollins, but he needs to turn heel and he needs to drop the title. I don't know if that's to Bray. I don't know if that's too soon, or to Drew McIntyre, or to whoever. I think it's run its course right now. I think.
Oh, I agree.
Over the last year, it's been Brock Lesnar or Seth Rollins as champion. They've traded titles 3 times over the last 9 months.
Pretty much.
It was Brock Lesnar, and then Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, and then Seth Rollins. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Who do you think Rollins is going to face next?
I don't know.
Do you think it's going
to? I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I saw a rematch with Lesnar was in the cards, but then they pretty much like cut that off at the knees and said no more rematches. They already did the Baron Corbin thing. I'm not sure where they're going with McIntyre. So, I mean, maybe they thrust Wyatt into the title picture. I don't know. Maybe it's too soon. Maybe
the winner of King of the Ring?
Maybe they go. King of the Ring's not going to be crowned until Clash of Champions, though. They need somebody to go up against Rollins at Clash of Champions.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I'm not 100% sure who they're going with. It'll be interesting to see where they go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, real fast before we wrap up, let's talk about Buddy Murphy last night and how great he was.
Oh, I missed, but you can talk about it. I kind of missed it, but I heard about it.
That match against Reigns was a star-making performance. I mean, the way he sold, they got so much of his offense in on Reigns. The commentators were putting him over. They were building him up like he was almost Roman's equal, like he was on the level of Roman Reigns, when we all know right now he's not, but they were treating him like he was. They treated him like he was a star, like he was a main event player.
There's
a lot of people saying that his match with Reigns was pretty much the main roster's match of the year.
Wow. I have to go back and watch this now. Do you think he could be in line for a title shot after they finish this Randy Orton Kofi feud? And do you think Randy Orton is going to win the belt?
Do I think Orton's going to win the belt? I'm going to say no. Do I think Murphy's in line for a title shot? Maybe somewhere down the line, but not quite yet. I think it's a little too soon. They got to build him up some more.
Maybe
I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised to see the King of the Ring winner get the title shot.
Against Kofi.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure this Orton feud is going to last until Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap up, who is your favorite to win that King of the Ring? If you had to choose.
I've got to go with Buddy Murphy.
I'm gonna say Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I can see them giving it to Owens, maybe Corbin. But my pick has to be Murphy
Corbin,
on this one.
Yeah, I like that. Either Murphy or Owens. If they gave it to Baron Corbin, that's just a waste. I'm sorry.
You're pretty much.
I don't know if you agree with that.
Pretty much.
Now, are you going to stick with Charlotte as much as I am?
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. Like, there's weeks where I hate her and I can't stand her, but then there's weeks where it's like she's so good at what she does.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
So, I mean, I don't know.
I know you like the Sasha Banks return. I'm looking forward to that.
That was perfectly done the way they did that.
Oh, yeah. They teased her as a babyface and then they...
It was just so excellently done the way they pretty much sucked the audience in and made them think she was back as a babyface, and then they just ripped the rug out from right underneath them.
Exactly. Well, since we're about to get off the air, I'd like to thank you, Ryan, for coming on, and hopefully you can come on very soon again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, because our schedule's always complex, so hopefully we can find another day to join, and maybe Kyle can join us again. I mean, join us this time. So I'd like to thank you. Do you want to plug? Do you have anything to plug or Twitter or anything?
No, it's been a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on, and I look forward to the next one.
You're welcome. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And just follow on the Philly SP podcast on Twitter. We're almost at 800 followers, and we'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye. Bye, Ryan.
See ya.
Later.